So this morning, I'm going to kick off, we're kicking off a new series, it is a new year, which is fairly obvious because this is the first time in 2017 that we've been back. But with a new year comes new hopes and often the desire for that new me or the new you or the me of 2017. We look back into last year or the year that has just been and we think through, well, I know that I do, think through last year and think of the areas of tension and frustration and go, these things need to change. And they're going to change this year in 2017, and I'm looking forward to it. We begin the year with great intentions. But often what happens with great intentions is that they become areas of great tension as a result of us not seeing the change that we had hoped for. And so, a lot of the time in the new year, we look back to the year having just been and we look at the area of tension and frustration and we go, we want these things to change. And we go, so I'm going to change them. And we have these great intentions of change. And then the new year rolls around and we're here. And as the year progresses and we don't see the change that we hoped for, they become areas of what they were for the year before, tension and frustration. The series, we want to look at what it means to not just have great intentions. Not just have great intentions. They are good, but they are only a start point. But we want to look at what it means to live intentionally. To live intentionally, because there is a difference between having a great intention and then doing something with that. How many of us have had great plans that we haven't got to see through because we, well, haven't followed them through? And then we kind of go, oh, well, missed that boat, you know? But the only reason we missed it is because we didn't hop on it. But most importantly, in this series, we want to look at what does the Word of God have to say about living intentionally? What does the Word of God have to say about living intentionally? Jesus himself was very intentional. He was very intentional in a lot of ways, from the words that he chose. His vocabulary, for example, was very intentional. We read about how he talks about seeking and going and finding. And so his vocabulary was very like purpose-filled and driven. And this is what I'm here to do, so on and so forth. Not only was he intentional like in his vocabulary, the words that he said, but he was intentional with who he said them to. Whether they be the teachers of the law at the time, the Pharisees and Sadducees, whether he was in conversation with them and he chose his words very wisely and he spoke into their lives very intentionally about religion, or whether he was speaking to a blind man or somebody who couldn't walk, somebody who needed healing in some way, or whether it be somebody who was caught in adultery or stealing or whatever it may be, the words of Jesus were always intentional. There was always purpose, and he always spoke with purpose. The thing is that it wasn't just what he said that like shows us that he was intentional in his life, but how he lived. How he lived. And I think that's such an important thing because, like great intentions, are often things that we will declare or say and go, this is what I want to change. Jesus didn't just say, this is why I'm here, but he actually did something about why he was here and he lived his purpose. We read time and time again, especially in the Gospel of Mark, it says, Jesus got up and he went. Jesus got up and he went. Now, I think that there is actually something like pretty important in that passage and why we read it so many times in the Gospels. And it's this: Jesus knew where he was going. Jesus knew where he was going. You don't get up and go somewhere if you don't know where. And that is exactly like what Jesus' life was full of, getting up and going and speaking to, whether it be a teacher of the law, or be it somebody who needs healing, or be it somebody who was caught in sin and needed forgiveness. Whatever it was, he did it with purpose and intention. He knew why he was here on earth. Jesus lived intentionally. Jesus also taught about it. He taught about what living intentionally looks like. And it's something that we can easily like glance over and miss. But this series, what we're going to do is we're going to be getting into, over the next 4 weeks, four parables. Four parables of Jesus where he speaks to what it is to live intentionally and how that looks in our lives personally and what it was looking like in his. Now, the thing with parables, as many of us know, there are layers upon layers upon layers upon layers within parables. And often, there are multiple meanings. There's also like multiple like theological discussions that you can have from each different parable. We could spend the next 4 weeks just unpacking one. But that's not what we're going to do. We're going to look at four. And what we're going to be doing with these four is taking the core ideas and principles and concepts about what Jesus had to say about living intentionally, which is just one topic that can be that he's teaching out of these parables. And we're going to sit down and we're going to listen to what Jesus has to say about living intentionally. Who's up for hearing what Jesus has to say about this? Yeah? Yeah, it's good. All right, so this morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 25, which is a chapter made up of parables. Now, before we get into this chapter, I want to just point out that this chapter begins with an opening line, and it reads a little bit different in different translations, but it reads along the lines of this: the kingdom of heaven will be like. The kingdom of heaven will be like. Now, in this chapter alone, there are three parables. And at the start of each parable, so the first parable, he says that. Then the second parable, he says, it will also be like. And then the third time, he goes, and it will also be like. So these are examples of what the kingdom of heaven will be like. I think that is important for us. I think it's important when we read a line like, for the kingdom of heaven will be like, that is important for us because as citizens of this kingdom, it has to do with us. As citizens of the kingdom, it has to do with us. We can read, for the kingdom of heaven will be like, and often go, well, this is ahead of us. And to a degree, in the parable that we're going to be in this morning, there is an element of it being in the future. But there is also a teaching point for it now in the present. And I think that Jesus is making multiple points about what do the citizens of the kingdom of heaven live like. And so that's where we are going to be this morning. So Matthew chapter 25, starting from verse 14, we read this. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag. Each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. From here, we read that after a long time, the master returns, and his servants come to him to settle the accounts of bags of gold or talents, or however your translation may put it, settle what he has given them and what they have done with what he has given them. And the first servant shows that he was faithful with what he had and that he had doubled what he had been given, and he was rewarded by the master. The second servant also shows that he was faithful with what he had been given, and he in turn was also rewarded. The third servant comes to the master and he says this, verse 24 and 25. It says, "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." We read from this point, it's quite a quick story that we read here. But we read that the master rebukes the servant. He rebukes the servant. He says, "Man, you've been lazy with what I have given you, what I have entrusted you with. You have been lazy and you have done nothing with it. Why did you hide it in the ground? Surely you could have at least put it in the bank where it could have earned interest. What you did, you thought was safe. But actually, it was kind of dumb. It wasn't even safe." And after this rebuking that the servant receives, it says this, and I like how it puts it in the Amplified Version. Verse 29, it says this, "For to everyone who has and values his blessings and gifts from God and has used them wisely, more will be given, and he will be richly supplied, so that he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, because he has ignored or disregarded his blessings and gifts from God, even what he does have will be taken away." Now, there are two points that I want to take out of this parable. And these two points, they're pretty simple. But I think that we often overcomplicate where we start in terms of, well, what do I do with this? Where do I start? If I want to make these changes, these great intentions, if I want to see them through and see them become not just intentions but reality, where do I go with them? How do I start? And I think that this passage here teaches us something really simple, that it is pretty simple. You just start. Start. And so the first point to living intentionally is that we need to focus on what we've got. I know, mind explosion. Dave, this is so relevant. What the heck? Focus on what we've got. Each servant was given according to their ability. Each servant was given according to their ability. Much of life can be spent wishing that we had what others had, while all the while what we have been gifted with and blessed with remains dormant. So often we can look at the person with 5 bags or 2 bags and we can miss out on the fact that we have 1 bag. And it might be like, well, David, it's only 1 bag. It's only 1 bag. But what I want to point out in this passage is that the individual who received 1 bag and the individual who received 2 bags weren't less like loved or like cared for or provided for by the master in this parable, were they? They were still provided for. That the person who received 5 bags of gold, the servant who received 5 bags of gold, it was not an act of favoritism towards that individual. What each individual received was actually an act of grace, was in response to grace. Now, I say that because each gift comes with its own responsibilities. Each gift comes with its own responsibilities. The person who was given 5 bags of gold had a greater responsibility to do more with what he had or she had. God does not give bad gifts. God does not give bad gifts. He won't give you something that you cannot handle. He will not give you something that you cannot handle. What I also would like to point out around this point on focusing on what we've got is that the reward for the first two servants was the exact same. that even though they were given different and earned different amounts, the reward that they received was the exact same. What the master did was not an act of favoritism, but he understood what their ability was and understood what their what the responsibility was that came with this gift, and he gave accordingly, because God does not give bad gifts. He will not give you what you cannot handle. So stop looking. I need to stop looking at what others have and thank God for what I have and what I can do and what he has enabled me to do in this world. We can so often look at somebody else and go, man, what they do is amazing. I wish I could do what they could do. But if you talked to that individual, most likely they would say, you don't get what comes with this responsibility. You don't get the amount of responsibility that I also have to carry with this ability. The second point that I want to make is this, and it's another mind-blowing one. Use what we've got. To live intentionally, we've got to use what we've got. Three servants. Yep, that was three fingers. Three servants. Two used what they had been given, and the other one buried it. Question is, what needs to be dug up this year that we have buried in our own lives and are now missing out on? What needs to be dug up this year that we have buried in our own lives and are now missing out on? I know in my own life, personally, there are things that I've neglected, for a multiple of reasons. From one, they freak me out. To two, I don't know what to do with them. And so on and so forth. I think that we can also view these bags of gold or these talents or whatever translation you use refers to them as opportunities. What opportunities has God given you that you have buried in the ground but are missing out on reaping the reward and blessing when you step into them? Because God knows the ability that you have, and so he's given you the responsibility to step into them. What opportunities have you given up on or buried because you don't know what to do with them, or they freak you out? To be honest, I think I have missed so many opportunities already in my life just because I buried them because of the unknown. Total honesty, unknown. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how that will pan out. You know what? I'm going to forget it. I'm going to bury it. I'm going to put it somewhere that I will not be able to see it, out of sight, out of mind. What drove the servant to bury his bag of gold? We read this in the passage. What drove the servant to bury his bag of gold was the fear of risk. He said, I know, where is it, so I was afraid and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. The servant who hid his bag of gold was afraid of risk. There was a fear of risk. Question is, what is faith without risk? What is faith without risk? Faith cannot be calculated. It can't. Faith is trusting God when we cannot see the end result. It has nothing to do with being able to see the end result. What this looks like, I don't know, but I will trust God because he is able to get me through it, because he saw what I was able to do, and he has enabled me to step into this opportunity and to use my gifts and blessings to bless others and see the kingdom of God extended. Faith is trusting God when we cannot see the end result, yet remaining certain that He who gave us these gifts and abilities will forever remain faithful and close as He promised. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21, again in the Amplified, it says this: "Now to Him who is able to carry out His purpose and do superabundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. Now to Him who is able. Now to Him who is able. God is able. Not only is He able, but He, because He is able, has enabled you through giving you gifts and to bless others. He has provided you opportunities for you to step into so that you can bless others, because He is able. You know what? Yes, we are to focus on what we've got. And we are also to use what we've got. But we have to also and forever and always acknowledge that what we have got is from the One who has it all, and who is able to superabundantly do more than we would ask or imagine to pray for. Think of this. This is just such a crazy thought, that when you pray to God, He wants to do more than what you pray for. He wants to exceed your prayer life. He wants to exceed your expectations. He wants to go beyond the faith that you have now so that you will have a faith in Him like no other. He wants to extend what He has begun in you when He died on the cross and bringing you into completion, giving you that faith that will change this world. Our Savior is mighty and powerful and able to do superabundantly more. Does that not get you excited? Does that not get you pumped? That yes, I will focus on what I have and not on what others have. And yes, I will use what I have got, including those things that I've buried. Darn it. I will use them. But I will also have faith in the One who has faith in me and knows what I'm able to do and will never give a bad gift and will always enable me to do what He has called me to do. This morning, you sit here because God has you here. This morning, God has you here to hear this, because God wants to work through you. He has given you opportunities He wants to see you step into. How we perceive things changes everything. Will you call what you have been given a burden or a blessing? Burden or blessing? Your family, burden, blessing. This friendship that you have that's a little bit weird, burden, blessing. The job that you have been given that you really don't like a whole lot, burden or blessing? What are we going to use? Sorry, how are we going to view what God has given us? Because how we view what God has given us will determine how we use them or if we use them. That's it. How we view it will change how we use them. God has you here for a reason this morning. He is not done with you yet. He never will be done with you yet. He's bringing you into completion, and there's nothing you can do about it. And so that opportunity is going to forever sit with you. Are you going to step into it? He wants to use you because He loves you unconditionally. And He went to the cross for you What are you going to do with what he has given you? Man, I know that this community, and this city, this nation, wow, weird words this morning, nation can be shifted if we just acknowledged what God has given us and then we decided to use it, knowing that God is able to do super abundantly more than we would ask or imagine, that we would dare pray for, dream about, or hope in. And if that doesn't get you excited, well, maybe you need a coffee. I don't know, guys. Like 2017, yes, 2016 was hard. And crap happened. In 2017, the same kind of thing is going to happen because life is not perfect. Nor am I yet. Thank you, Jesus. But I am excited about what this year holds and what this community is going to do. Because God is with us. He is for us. And he goes before us. He is able to do super abundantly more than we would imagine. Nick, do you want to come on up, bro? And so right now, I want to just take a moment for us to just sit and have a chat with God. And just go, Lord, what is it that I'm focusing on? Am I focusing on something that isn't my own? That isn't something that you're calling me to? What is it that you're calling me to? What is the purpose that you have given me? What is the calling that you have on my life? I think that the question that I've really been wrestling with in my own personal world, like as I've been like prepping for this, is that what have I buried that God wants to use? What have I buried? Be it a gift or an opportunity, or you could call that opportunity a gift. So I want to take some time and just talk to God and just say, Lord, lead me. Show me what it is that you want to do through me this year. That I would not just have great intentions, but like you, live intentionally with purpose, knowing why I am here on this earth. Knowing why I am here on this earth. And that you greatly love me. Lord, I want to sit in this place and just acknowledge that all I have is from you. Every single bit, including the breath in my lungs, I want to acknowledge it is from you. It is a gift. And so where you are, just spend some time. I know the Lord wants to speak to us this morning. He has been speaking to us this morning. Sure has spoken to me.